Okay? Thank you, Lord Father, in the name of Yeshua. I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for your word. And I just want to give you all the glory and the honor, the praise and the worship and the majesty in the name of Yeshua. Can I have the next slide, please? I need... There. It's kind of hard to see, but it says, Satan may roar, but my defender is the Lion of Judah, and he will fight. And he will fight for me. I need only be still. From Exodus 14:14. And go to the next slide, please. And today's message is, you need only to be still. And this is from Exodus 14:14. Do you have your scriptures with you today? And I hope you do. Don't leave home without it. Don't come to synagogue without your scriptures with you. Some people have it on their phone. Some people have it on the tablet. Some people even have this traditional method with them. It's called a book, the scriptures. I hope somebody brought one. Okay, Louis got one. Yeah, these are good. These are our weapons of warfare right here. Good. Praise the Lord. So we read in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, Moses answered the people. And by the way, this handout has all the scriptures that I'll be sharing today. That way you don't have to be trying to write them down real fast, and they're in order. Okay, so you have them all there. It's on the paper, Louis. That's why I said you don't have to write it down. Okay. Oh. I tell you, the life of a rabbi. In Exodus 14, starting in verse 13, we read, Moses answered the people, Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you shall see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You know, people, we know hard times will come. And many of us have already been experiencing hard times. But we don't have to be overcome by these hard times. We don't. We can have the shalom, that is the peace of Messiah Yeshua in us, in our hearts and in our lives. We can get to a point in life where even though things seem bad and they seem hopeless, we know we have a God on our side who will fight for us. Thank you, Lord. We have a God who will fight for us. That's important. You know, we see in this scripture here that God is faithful and that God keeps His word. He promised that He would set the children of Israel free from slavery and from bondage, and He did what He promised. He said He would do. He promised to set you and I free from sin and death, and He sent the Messiah, Yeshua, to die in our place. He said it, and He did it. He promised it, and it came to be. You know, God doesn't always work in the way that seems best to us. He doesn't. Instead of guiding the children of Israel along the direct route from Egypt into the Promised Land, He took them by a longer route from Egypt to the Promised Land. He took them by a longer route so that they would not get into warfare and battles with the Philistines. If God does not lead you, listen to this, God does not lead you along the shortest path to your goal, don't complain and don't resist. Follow Him willingly, and trust Him that He's going to lead you safely around unseen obstacles. Sometimes there's obstacles, things in our way, something that God does not want us to have to go through and encounter. Sometimes He leads us a different way and a different path that we think is best. Sometimes it's the long way around rather than the short way, but God is looking out for you. God has your best interest in heart. So don't complain or don't resist. Follow Him willingly and trust Him to lead you safely around all the obstacles. He can see the end of your journey. You know, we can't always see it. In fact, we can't see. We can't see the end of the journey. We may know it's over there somewhere, but we can't really see the end of it. But God knows what's at the end. And God knows what's at the beginning. And He knows what's best and what's safest for us because He loves us. You know, the Lord gave the children of Israel a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to protect them and to guide them on their journey. But you know, the Lord has also given you and I a pillar as well. He has given us His word right here. God has given us this pillar, His word here. This Bible is our comfort and knowledge that He is with us and that His word will protect and guide us as we follow it. That's why it's important that you read it and you know what's in it. If you don't know what's in it and you don't read it, you'll get lost. I mean, if you're going on a journey and you don't know where you're going and you don't have a map, you're going to get lost. This is your map. This is your guidebook. This is what leads you. This is what directs you. This is what gives you hope, security. This is what you need. It's your pillar that you need to follow. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord provided also for the needs of the children of Israel. And He gave them food. He sent them manna from heaven. And He gave them water from the rock. For 40 years in the wilderness, God took care of the children of Israel. But you know that God will also provide for your needs? Did you know that God will provide for your needs? You know, we say we know that, but do you know that God will provide for your needs? Do you know that? No, do you really believe that God will provide for your needs? Or are you always afraid and always fearful because you don't see it immediately? It's not just stuck into your hand like this and you can grasp it. Sometimes it takes some faith and some trust and to wait upon the Lord. But you need to believe that God will provide for your needs. It says in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and His glory in the Messiah, Yeshua." You know, as easy as it may be to say, it's still a truth. We should not worry about tomorrow. The Lord has also provided us manna from heaven. And God has also provided us water from the rock, both physically and spiritually. Look what it says in the book of John chapter 6. And if you hopefully you can turn there, John 6, 32 through 40. It's on your handout, the second scripture. And it says the following here in John 32, or 6, 32. "And Yeshua said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses." Listen to this. "It is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Yeshua declared, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is Yeshua speaking. Yeshua, who is not only the Messiah, He is the Savior of the world. He is the Redeemer of the world. He is the one that God sent into this world so that we might have eternal life as we put our faith and trust in Him. And it's Him, it is Yeshua, who will cause you to never go hungry and never to be thirsty. If you believe in Him, it says. "But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. God will raise us up. When we leave this earth, we'll be in the presence of a living God. Thank you, Lord. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, that is Yeshua, if you look to him, if you put your faith in him, if you trust in him, it says right here, and believe in him, you shall have eternal life. That's the only way that we will have eternal life, if we put our faith and our trust, if we look to the Son of God. And I will raise him up on the last day. You know, God promised the children of Israel that he would set them free from that cruel bondage and slavery in Egypt, and he fulfilled his promise. Regardless of the circumstances, God overcame many obstacles for them. He also promises to deliver us from the grip of the enemy in Yeshua, the Messiah, who is our Redeemer, our Deliverer. Yes, people, sometimes things get ugly. And sometimes things get rough. But in these times, when things are ugly and things are rough, we need to be still when the enemy attacks and let God fight the battles. Let God fight the battles. I mean, that's totally the opposite. It doesn't make sense, does it? It's just like, wow, that blows your mind, doesn't it? It doesn't make sense. Here the enemy is coming at you with the sword, the javelin, everything to kill you. And you are just to stand still and smile. Let me see your smile. Stand still because God is going to fight your battle. God is going to fight your battle for you. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 46:10 says, your third scripture there says, be still and know that I am God. How are you going to know that he is God unless you stand still and you wait upon him and you let God reveal himself to you? You can't be still and be babbling and you got to be quiet. You have to be still and let God show forth his glory. You know, recalling the 40 years of struggles in the wilderness, Moses reminded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 20:1-4. He said, when you go to war against your enemies, and you see all the horses, and you see all the chariots, and you see an army much greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. He's reminding him, the people. Moses is reminding the people of this. When you are about to go into battle, the Kohen, the priest, shall go forward and he will address the army. And he shall say, hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified or give away to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. God will give us the victory. When an enemy comes against us and it looks just overwhelming, know that God will fight your battles for you. You know, as believers in the Messiah Yeshua, we face many battles daily. I'm telling you, daily we fight or we face battles. Has anyone faced a battle this week? Okay. Several of you faced a battle this week. We're going to do it every day. We're going to face battles. We constantly are confronted with the ungodly and the immoral around us, people who are deceitful and dishonest, and people who are unholy and blasphemers, and self-righteous people, and prideful people, and arrogant people. Sadly, these people are often believers. sadly, they're often believers. That's true statement there. And in today's economy, you know, things have improved with President Trump, I think. Hey, by the way, all the complaints about, you know, the refunds and income tax and all that, I got the biggest refund I've gotten, I can't even, probably my life, this year. For years, I owed money, all right? I owed money, let me tell you. But the economy is getting better, but still there are people who are suffering in the economy. There's still people who are needing jobs and needing so many things. But, you know, we're faced daily with all sorts of pressures, just making ends meet and praying that we can keep our jobs and not get laid off. I know that. I've been laid off, I can't remember how many times. It's either 4 or 5 times I've been laid off. And I know what it means to be laid off and have no job and have 2 children at home and a wife and all that. Many times I've been laid off. And it's not easy. I tell you what. You know, besides the daily external struggles, we face internal strife with lack of faith and lack of hope and lack of trust in God. We all do. We're human beings. Okay, when you get to heaven and you walk on the streets of gold, okay, you're going to have plenty of faith then. I know that. But now we struggle. As a result, we often lose our perspective on reality and we feel as though we're all out there alone by ourselves fighting the battles all alone. Where is God? Where is God? In the midst of all this, we see all the horses, we see all the chariots all around us, this great big giant army's coming against us, and they look scary. Oh my God, look how scary that army is. They look terrifying. We lose heart, we become afraid. We begin to panic and terror enwraps us. Oh my goodness. But you know, thinking about ourselves and our lives today, you know, maybe the bills are really stacking up. But I tell you, there were times when I had so many bills and I couldn't pay them and I had no job and I was looking. They wouldn't hire me. With college degree, I could not get a job at McDonald's. I'm telling you, I applied to McDonald's, I applied to Burger King, I applied all over to try to make money to take care of my family, and they wouldn't hire me. He said, oh, you got a college degree? No, that wouldn't work out. As soon as you get something, you know, you'll be out of here. You know, we don't want you. So, but maybe the bills are stacking up. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Marriages are falling apart today, many of them. Struggling. Maybe your children have walked away from the Lord and they're in sin. Maybe your car is all busted up and you need it to be able to get to work or to look for work. You don't have money to fix it, or your health is just failing and you don't know what you're going to do. You're sick all the time. You feel terrible. Maybe you lost your job or you need a job. Maybe your refrigerator is empty. People, let me tell you. I'm telling you straight from reality and truth. There were times when we were struggling. The refrigerator had nothing in it. And the cabinets had nothing in it. And I remember a few times, and this is when I was leading a congregation in El Paso where, you know, somebody just left bags of groceries in the front of the door. When I opened the front door, there was bags of groceries there. And other times where people just came over with bags of groceries and all sorts of things like that. I know what it means to go through some difficult times. Huh? Yeah, lots of things. Yep. Maybe your shoes are worn. And I tell you, I finally got a pair of new shoes, okay? I've been wearing shoes that were that had torn on the seams on both of my shoes, left and right shoes. I finally got some shoes this week. So praise the Lord. I could have afforded to buy the shoes. That's not the issue. I hate shopping for shoes. I hate shopping totally. But praise the Lord. But maybe your shoes are all worn out and your clothes. But I do need to get some pants. My pants are getting all torn, and you know, maybe when we get away, we're having a second honeymoon this weekend with my bride. We're celebrating our 34th anniversary here. We're getting away. I'm not coming back till Wednesday. And maybe, honey, I can get a pair of pants. Okay. Praise the Lord. Or maybe you're just all worn out and tired. Wow. You're unable to sleep. I struggle with that. I tell you what. I really struggle with sleeping. You know, I'm going to sleep this one more way. I'm going to sleep. Yeah, because I'm going to sleep. And maybe it just seems like nothing's going right. But we can have this assurance that our prayer will be heard by the Lord. Melech David, King David, shared in Psalm 20, verse 6, "Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He answers from His holy heaven with the saving power of His right hand." Thank you, Lord, the saving power of your right hand. Our trust in God has to go beyond the physical, that which we can see, that which we can hear and touch and feel. And Melech David, King David, goes on to say in the same psalm in verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God." Thank you, Lord. So when the Red Sea is in front of us and the armies of Egypt are behind us, remember that the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You know, the evil one may come against you as a giant. Sometimes he seems like a giant. With the sword and with the spear and with the javelin. But we must come against him in the name of the Lord Almighty El Shaddai, the God of the armies of Israel. Melech David, King David, told the Philistines in 1 Samuel 17:47, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword and it's not by the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands." Thank you, Lord. So when you go through difficult times in life, we're often blind to the fact that God is with us. In fact, as we get closer to the Purim, dealing with the events in the book of Esther, and that's the whole story of the book of Esther, God does not seem to be anywhere. God is not mentioned anywhere in the book of Esther, but God is there, obviously, everywhere, organizing, putting together, putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. God is there, absolutely. And we're often in those times blind to the fact that God is with us. If we cannot see and we cannot hear or smell or feel, then the experience is not real to us. But the Lord works in the supernatural, beyond our senses, beyond our understanding. He works in the realm of the miraculous. Bob, He works in the realm of the impossible. Thank you, Lord. We often act like the servant of Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elijah's servant, Elisha. In 2 Kings 6:15, who after seeing this great army with horses and chariots surrounding him, proclaimed, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" And that day Elisha gave, it was the servant of Elisha. Okay, disregard that man behind the curtain, okay? Some of you old timers might know what that is. Anyway, that day Elisha gave his servant a lesson on faith and trust in God. He opened the eyes of his servant to the supernatural realm of God. And it's my prayer that God would open our eyes to the supernatural realm. Thank you, Lord. Open up our supernatural eyes, oh God. Thank you, Lord. And Elisha told his servant in 2 Kings 6, verse 16 and 17. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see the hill, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he looked and he saw the hills filled with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Chariots of fire. Right, Donnie? Right, the chariots of fire. That's the way you say it in the South. The chariots of fire. Thank you, Lord. As believers in Yeshua, we're in constant conflict and war with the world, in which we can see and with the world in which we cannot see. Because of this, the Lord does not leave us defenseless, unable to gain victory. In Luke 9, verse 1, Yeshua gives us the power and the authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And in Luke 10, verses 18 through 19, Yeshua says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you at all. Thank you, Lord. And just as the Lord opened the eyes of Elisha's servant, he has opened our eyes as well. And he has revealed these things to us. In Luke 10:21, we read, at that time, Yeshua, full of joy through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and from the learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. God has revealed these truths to us so we may gain victory in knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, expressed these thoughts well in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, where he said, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world wages war. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Messiah. I love that scripture, but especially where it says, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Messiah. For the last few years, I have been proclaiming that all the time. You know, because we have to really guard our thoughts and our heart. And God has given us the ability to take our thoughts captive and keep them focused where they're supposed to be and not wandering off to things which are ungodly and impure and unholy and unrighteous. We can do that. So what's our part in this whole thing here? You know, although the ultimate battle and victory belongs to the Lord, He desires that you and I take an active role in the destruction of Satan and his demonic following. We are to take part in this, an active role. He expects us to prepare for the battle both physically and spiritually. Rav Shaul uses the analogy of a suit of armor to discuss our need for readiness. He tells us in Ephesians 6:10 through 13 to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, that we are to put on the armor of God that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not at all, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. The Lord is reminding us that the battle that we fight is a spiritual battle, and it has to be fought in God's strength, depending on, again, this, depending on the word of God, the sword of the Spirit here. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living, it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." And Rasha'ul, the Apostle Paul, adds the most important part to the whole analogy in this whole saga here. He says prayer. Prayer. He says in Ephesians 6:8, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert." Right, Bob? And I'm coming to the end here, people. Hang on now. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Pray, 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 pray at all times. He also reminds us in Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, to prayer, to prayer, being watchful and thankful." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he simply says, "Pray continually." You need to pray continually. Pray always. Pray forever. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Pray. Pray. And as Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul's life was coming to an end, and as I'm coming to an end today as well, just in the message, okay? I'm going to be around longer. Amen. I'll agree with that, brother. As his life was coming to an end in 2 Timothy, he left us with these final words of encouragement and hope. And that's the last scripture on your sheet from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness." Thank you, Lord. "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to you, to all who have longed for his appearing." That he's going to put that crown on your head and say, "Well done, my faithful servant. In you I am so pleased. I'm so happy with you. Oh, I think you're wonderful." Thank you, Lord. Thank you. As we seek the Lord in prayer, as we meditate on his word, as we sing to him, as we exalt his holy name, we will truly experience, people. We will truly experience the Lord will fight for you. And everyone together, you need only to be still. Again, you need only to stand still. You need only to stand still. Actually, I should say you need only to be still, but this is true, people. Stand still and see God's mighty hand part the Red Sea. Thank you, Lord. For the enemy you see today, you shall never see again. For the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, by the authority, the power that's in that holy name, Lord, we praise you, we thank you.